Drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. Boyhood, Moonlight, Stand By Me, Boys in the Hood. They're all American coming-of-age films that don't shy from really heavy topics. All evoke distinct and specific settings and experiences while connecting with wider audiences. Well, perhaps now Australia has one to add to that list of modern classics. Jasper Jones, the award-winning novel about a bookish 14-year-old boy living in small-town Western Australia, has now been made into a film.
Up in your face.
Cut myself. Sleeping.
My sister. She's gone missing.
We have to tell the police.
No, we can't.
Nobody can know. Not until we find out who did this.
Set in the scorching summer of 1969, the film is directed by Rachel Perkins and stars Hugo Weaving. They are my guests in the drawing room. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Rachel, that description, 14-year-old boy living in a small town, WA, it gives just the basics, really. But there's so much more to this story, isn't there? There's so many layers.
There is, and I think that's why the book was so popular. So Craig Sylvie wrote Jasper Jones, the novel, I don't know, about 5 years ago now.
Yeah, maybe even more, yeah.
And it was just taken into the heart of Australians. But I think there's a lot of points of resonance for people. So, you know, in making the film, I've met people who've responded to the book. In fact, it's sort of like this euphoric response. People sort of mob Craig Sylvie. It's actually quite great because yeah. I don't
know. It's great having him on board.
Yeah, it's just this trail of fans that sort of, yeah, follow him around. But, yes, there's a lot of different sort of context, I suppose, because it's set in 1965, so it explores this very, you know, this Australia in transition. So it looks at, say, the role of women. And played by Toni Collette in this case, it looks at race relations in the form of the character of Jeffrey Liu, who's a Vietnamese-Australian boy, and, of course, Jasper Jones, who is a mixed race, for want of a better word, Aboriginal kid who's sort of on the wrong side of the tracks from this small town. And this is all seen through the eyes of Charlie Buckton, who is this boy who's turning into a man, and as you know, as you do, as you grow into an adult, the world changes and you see things perhaps for what they are. So Jasper Jones is sort of just like it's a coming of age. I love it when you say it's an Australian classic.
I love that. I've made it a classic
it
already.
Yes.
Yeah, how awesome is that? Hugo, what's your relationship with Jasper Jones? Did you read the book? When did it happen? When did it come into your life?
I'd heard about the book. I hadn't read it. And then I read the script, which I loved, and was very keen to be a part of it. And I then jumped into the book. And I was very pleased to find out when I arrived on set to meet up with Rachel after many, many years of not having worked with her, that Craig Sylvie was actually with us on set. So it was a real treat to see the author and to kind of work with him as well as with Rachel.
So. I'm so intrigued by how you worked that out, Rachel. So you had the author on set. What kind of relationship did you form with him working on this film?
Well, I claim responsibility for wanting him to come back on board and write the shooting draft of the script because his voice is so unique. I wanted that, and I wanted to stay true to the novel because I believe adaptation should not move too far away from the original work if you love the original work. So we started working together on the script and then I invited him into rehearsals because we were working with young cast, and I thought rather than me rewriting the lines, which will inevitably come out of rehearsals, I'll just get the writer to do it because I'm not a good writer. I don't claim to do that and I find it very difficult. So I thought, okay, come into the rehearsal room and you can rewrite the dialogue as we go if there's any changes. And he was very useful to the young cast in, you know, telling them about character because, of course, he created these characters. And they found that very beneficial.
Did they pick his brain?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And, and he came up with things that I hadn't considered. And, of course, he came up with them because they're his characters. And we got on very well. And so I said, well, look, you might as well come down for the shoot, you know, because, you know, I can use you as a resource again. And
he was amazingly resourceful too. He was very useful in many, many ways.
Please tell me how he was useful beyond the fact that it's his book.
For instance, he was the cricket coach.
He was the cricket coach for Kevin Long, who'd never held a bat.
And Kevin looks...
cricket is pretty essential to
Well, it is, and certainly for one of these characters, it's very important that he ends up winning the game. And so he needs to look like a cricketer, and I don't think he'd batted at all prior to, or very much, maybe he had, I don't know.
No, he
hadn't, okay. So that was one of the little things that that he was able to do.
He actually then went on to direct the cricket scene in the film because not only had I never really held a cricket bat, I had no interest in ever holding a cricket bat again or learning about the game because, you know, I could go on and on about cricket, but
I'm not really into cricket either. It's okay.
Okay, well, there's another thing that we agree
This is
upon.
A safe space.
Yeah, okay, well, good. I just didn't care. I didn't want to know. I didn't want to learn the game, and I would have had to if I would have directed the scene. So I said, Craig Sylvie, cricket fanatic, over to you. And he had a great time directing the cricket scene.
Now, without spoiling anything, you, Hugo, play a kind of mysterious kind of character. Tell me about that character.
Well, he's the Mad Jack Lionel, or Jack Lionel. Mad Jack Lionel, as everyone knows him. Mad Jack. He's the guy on the hill. He's the guy in every town, I guess, who everyone else in the town has prejudicial views about, but actually don't necessarily know very much about. So Mad Jack Lionel apparently was in the war. Mad Jack Lionel apparently killed many, many people in the war. Mad Jack Lionel never got over it, apparently. Mad Jack Lionel apparently worked in the abattoir. Mad Jack Lionel apparently strung up a woman and bled her to death. Mad Jack Lionel is apparently responsible for the main incident in our film. And so he's talked about ad nauseam and has seen the kids in the town fear him, and it's a sort of... because he's lived slightly outside the town, I suppose they just... Yeah, he's one of those people who's responsible for all the ills of the town, and yet the interesting thing about him is his real story is both simpler and much more complex. And so that's why it was a good role to play.
Rachel, there are some really interesting actors that you recruited for this film, including the actor who I was talking to you off air because I think he's just brilliant, who played Jasper Jones in this film. How did you go about sourcing some of these actors that we haven't seen before on this big screen?
Well, Aaron McGrath is a special case, I think, because 5 years ago he hadn't acted before. So our fabulous casting agent, Anusha Zarkesh, has a very good way of identifying talent from plucking them out of obscurity. So Aaron McGrath was just a kid that she found in a school and auditioned him, thought he had talent, and then we cast him in a TV series that was on the ABC called Red Fern Now. So I cast him in his first role with Anusha, and when I read the book, I hoped that he could play this role. Similarly with Kevin Long, who plays Jeffrey Liu. Again, he was a non-actor, found at a local kung fu class in Western Sydney. Jeffrey Liu. Sorry, I keep on calling them by Kevin, their actual names. Kevin, Jeffrey, Kevin. Anyway, so she discovers these people, and it's her great ability to go into communities and do so. But then we also had two very well-known actors, Levi Miller and Gowri Rice, who had come to the project with a number of movies under their belt, international films, probably with more experience than I had,
And yet they're still both teenagers. Right?
Yes, sorry, I should, context, yes. Yeah, they were 14 and 15 or something.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they've just come off Hollywood sets and...
Well, let me pick you up on that because, teenagers, and yet they're dealing with pretty weighty issues, racism, sexual abuse, xenophobia, betrayal. This film has it all.
And love.
Look how I just cut that out.
Yes. Importantly, love.
This
is exactly what I mean. This is what you go through as a teenager, and even as a younger child. You're trying to work out what the world is all about, and as you get older, you learn a little bit more, and things are much more complex than they at first may appear. And adults are probably much more disappointing than they might first present themselves as being. So to me, this is the beauty of the book and the film and the piece. And these young actors have Well, we're seeing the world through their eyes, their characters' eyes anyway. So their journey is very much probably the journey they're making anyway. And they're certainly able to take in all that complexity in real life. And so I think it's wonderful to be able to see their journey as into adulthood. I remember working with Levi, and I saw him just the couple of days I worked with him as a much younger man. I mean, look, he a much younger boy. He is young, but when I saw the film, which was filmed at exactly the same time, I saw the young man there more than I had in real life because I travelled with him on the journey. And he's at that point in the film where he's both manages to be boyish and a really interesting young man. So I think it's fantastic to capture that particular spirit.
If you're just tuning into RN, I'm Patricia Carvelis. You're in the drawing room, and tonight my guests, director Rachel Perkins. I'm also joined by Hugo Weaving, one of the stars in the film, Jasper Jones. Rachel, we've seen really the extraordinary rise of young Indigenous actors in this country in recent years. Are we at that kind of point now where Indigenous actors should start playing roles beyond the Indigenous role in a particular film? Are we there yet? Are we going to get there?
I think we are. We're there.
I think we're there, yeah.
We're there?
Yeah, I mean, you look at Tony Collins, who was in Clever Man, who's just gone on to another series called, and now I can't remember it, but he plays the love interest. And on the new ABC show,
Newton's Law, Miranda
Tapsell, who was also another Love Child guest. Yes, Love Child. She had a lead role in that. So, and certainly Deb Mailman was a crusader, and then of course Aaron Pedersen was an early one as well as Ernie Dingo. So we've had some trailblazers, and it's becoming normal. Is a weird way of saying it, but it's starting to normalise. I think it'd be great to see some more Asian faces on our screens. That's a much slower, I think, despite our population. So look, we are seeing change, and certainly broadcasters like the ABC and SBS have been at the forefront, and it wouldn't have happened without them. So yeah, I think we're seeing change, and it's great to be part of that movement. You know, like, we can change the world in those ways, and I think, you know, theatre and the arts and sports are leading the way in that regard.
What are the barriers still? You've told me the positive story, but what's the other side? What's holding it off? You mentioned, for instance, Asian Australians still struggling to make it onto our television screens.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I've got this really, this is like my no research, baseless
anecdotal
theory, anecdotal assessment. Okay,
this is so, Rachel Perkins through her eyes.
Yeah. So when you watch those shows like X Factor and Australia's Got Talent or whatever they're all called, you know, there's a spate of them. The people who get on those shows come from so many different backgrounds. You know, there's Samoans and Aboriginal people and Asian people and people from wherever, all over the place. And they come because they have talent. Now, look, people have said, oh, no, you know, that's not how it actually works. But to a basic viewer like me, it seems that those shows are far more representative. I think the thing is that there's a layer of filtering that goes on at the TV. If we're talking about television, at the TV sort of executives
and fear,
isn't there? There's a decision making.
It's based on some level of commercial fear, probably unfounded.
What audiences find attractive and sexy, and
there probably isn't a great deal of thought about it. Actually, I think it's just habitual.
Yeah, it's grown up over a long time, like, you know, okay, blonde hair, blue eyes.
That's what we've done before. That's what we'll keep on doing.
Yeah, but look, great actors are breaking that. You know, like Deb Mailman, how many times has she won the Logie for most popular actress? Like, a lot of times, or best actress. You know, her talent shines through and audiences love her. And I think the sooner we take Australians and give them the intelligence that they actually have and give them a bit more credit, we'll see a change in representation on Australian screens.
Well, your film certainly isn't white bread on any level. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I think our film is not only not white bread, it's actually like beautiful, yummy raisin toast. It's totally enjoyable. You just want to eat more of it, and it's a great night in the cinema. Yeah.
It is.
There's a plug.
I love how you did that, Rachel. Thanks so much. And that's Rachel Perkins. She's the director of Jasper Jones. You also heard from one of the stars of the film, Hugo Weaving. Jasper Jones opens next week on March 2nd.